Fargo's Fraud Squad is brought to you by Gate City Bank, and our expert is right there now. He's from Gate City Bank. Our fraud expert, Phil Swan, joins us on the phone line. Hey, Phil, welcome back.
Hi there. How are you?
We're pretty good. How was Happy 4th of July, a little bit late. Hope it was a good weekend.
Yes, to you as well.
A hot one. Let's talk unemployment fraud. Apparently, that is a big topic in the world you live in right now.
Right. Yeah. You know, right now, the United States is under attack. You know, each state is potentially vulnerable. Some states have been hit harder than others by this group, which appears to be based out of Nigeria. What they're doing is they are using lists of people. Oftentimes, they are using personal information from that people who are first responders, government personnel, school employees. Information that's a little easier to find on the internet, and they are creating fake unemployment claims with different states. And from there, then they have usually a person who is known or susceptible to frauds, and they use that person's information and account information to send that fake unemployment claim into their bank. And then from there, the fraudster has to social engineer that person to get that money out. So they're attaching this to romance scams, to like Craigslist or secondary market scams, different things like that, because the fraudster has to engineer that middleman or that money mule to not only accept that money, but then to forward it on to them. And they're using like electronic currency, like Bitcoin, different things like that. They're also using gift cards and wires and other known ways of sending money fraudulently. So this has caused a lot of issues with different states. Now, they are talking that like Washington State was one of the big ones that was really hit, and there might have been as many as $650 million in fraudulent claims. Thankfully, the state has recovered about half of that, but it's still a lot of money, and that's all money that, unfortunately, the taxpayers of Washington are not able to see that benefit.
So, Phil, in this case, are they contacting the mark, the victim, before they have the money transferred in, or are they blindly just transferring it in thinking, gosh, we'll try and get it out of here? So when would you expect the first contact to take place?
So most of the time they are contacting the people. Now, what we're seeing is that the people who are getting this money are kind of our who's who of people who like to be exposed to this type of fraud. So it almost seems like whoever's running this fraud has, must have purchased lists of people who have fallen for scams in the past. A lot of times on the dark web, they will create what they call hot sheets. And so if a fraudster is successful in the past, they're going to put that person's information on one of these sheets and say, this person, I was able to, able to get money out of this person, and then they can sell those lists back and forth. And so it almost seems like these fraudsters really must have purchased some kind of list of people who would be susceptible to that type of fraud event. They have, a long con running on these people, and so a lot of them have been contacted first. Now, some people have not been, and the fraudster just attempts to talk to that person after the point. But most of the time we've seen it where that person has been in contact and this has been part of an ongoing fraud that is being ran against them.
So they convince them to send them the money that they've received from this unemployment scam. And then the state comes looking for that money when they realize that the claim's not legit, and then you're stuck owing money without it being in your bank account. Is that what I'm to take away from this?
Well, yeah, the state's, obviously, like in Washington's example, there was so much of it. They're still working through it and still trying to figure out what's going on. But, it definitely if I were in their shoes, I would not be wanting to get contacted by the state and say, hey, where's this money at? So, because they're going to have to explain that to them. And yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, you know, on the next step. Is the state going to be, you know, because usually it's states that aren't, you know, it's not North Dakota or not, you know, we haven't seen that here. It's, you know, other states where our customer might live in North Dakota or Minnesota, and it could be like Washington State or something like that. So,
wow. I mean, it's got to be very confusing, I think, because we're all a little confused about unemployment right now. And with so many people using those benefits, this has got to be just popping up everywhere.
Right. And it really hurts those people who need that money. And, you know, people who are legitimately out of work and need to have, that money right now, because, you know, multiple different states have shut off their unemployment payments until they can kind of get a handle on what's going on. And so it's really hurt those who need it the most. And that's the unfortunate thing about this situation.
Yeah, that's scary stuff. And especially, you know, and that is fraud that is happening in terms of the unemployment. But there's other fraud that is happening, and I'm sure it's popped up in your line of work, of people just trying to take advantage of people during this time as well.
Yes, unfortunately, this has been, you know, anytime people are in a state of panic or just out of their norm, you know, more people are apt to do something that they're not, you know, typically you might think, hey, this doesn't make sense, I'm not going to go through with it. But when, you know, the whole world is kind of in this state of at least out of their norm, you know, people will do things that they don't normally do. And so fraudsters right now are out there. They are being very aggressive, and they're using some, you know, pretty impressive skills and technology to perpetrate fraud a lot faster than what we've seen in the past. So, you know, really try to slow things down. If you are going to be, you know, really doing any kind of transactions with people you don't know or can't see face to face, you know, if you see a transaction that comes in as unemployment, you know, make sure that, you know, is that something that you applied for? Does the state make sense there? Sometimes the transaction information isn't real easy to understand, but you can Google it and see where that transaction came from. So if does it make sense that if you, you know, live in North Dakota and never worked outside of North Dakota, all of a sudden you're getting unemployment insurance from the state of Washington, that should be something you should talk to your financial institution about, because that's stolen money and you don't want to have that in your account. So, like I said, take a look, take that opportunity, you know what your bank accounts are looking like. You know, also look for if there's any paperwork from unemployment insurance that you didn't apply for, different things like that, that they're using right now.
Phil, just out of curiosity, because we live in a more and more digital world, how often should someone be checking their bank account?
I would say quite often. It's really what you, how you feel that, you know, you're okay with taking that risk on. You know, transactions happen faster and faster now in this world that we live in. You're absolutely right. And someone who, you know, if they have control of an account, has a lot of access to money very quickly and can move it out very quickly. And so it really is dependent on the person. You know, I check mine pretty frequently just so I know. And also, like, I know with Gate City Bank, you can set up alerts for transactions as well. So you might not be able to, you know, sit there and watch it all the time. But if you can set up alert on your digital banking platform, so that way, if there is a certain type of transaction that comes out, it will automatically alert you. So there are different tools like that. I know Gate City Bank has a lot of those things, those tools available for our customers just to be extra safe. So that might be something to look at, even if you're not a Gate City Bank customer, to see if your financial institution has that as well.
Good stuff. Practicing
some good financial hygiene, just keeping up on those bank accounts. I feel like I'm hyper vigilant right now. I saw a charge yesterday that I was like, I didn't make that purchase. I don't know what that is. And I'm like scanning through my other purchases and I'm like, I know I purchased something from there that day, but it wasn't that exact amount. So I had to call the company and turn, it was fine. But I was like, okay, you're being a little crazy right now, Amy, but being a little hypervigilant isn't a bad thing right now.
Right. Well, and absolutely. So many companies have a different title that you get charged with.
Yes.
So you may go to your local burger store, but it comes up as like Sam Wiseman Group,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. And you go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Or it comes up thatcompany.com.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, I didn't purchase any. Was this in store? Does my receipt from in store match the same amount as this .com purchase? That can be confusing too. So
you see how much smarter we are, Phil, because of you?
Thanks,
Phil Swan is a fraud expert. He's taught us well.
I do what I can.
Thanks, Phil. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Fargo's Fraud Squad is brought to you by Gate City Bank for a better way of life. You'll find this podcast at kfto.com after the show. She won't